Give me any advice on dealing with the person?
We're on record right now, so I can't do that right now.
Oh, well, yeah, I thought maybe on a private line sometime.
We can, sure, I can, yeah, we'll figure something out. But, anonymity wise and all that kind of stuff, I've already kind of talked a little bit out of order of just my experience of this. So, but that type of thing is definitely a,
Yeah, would you have time though for me to call you sometime?
Sure, I guess. If you email, you have my
Oh,
email
yeah, that's right. I got your emails.
in the email that came out. I'm the emotionally sober.
Yeah.
So you can send me an email with your number and we can chat about that if you like, offline.
Okay. Thanks.
Yes.
I told the person it's not an alcohol problem, it's a self problem. We all have the self problem.
Yeah, that's actually my question today, which is the frustration of why do I spend so much time identified as a self instead of just being awareness? So much of the time, mainstream politics, weather, just stupid stuff that my mind goes around and round with. Anyway, I'm frustrated with myself.
Yeah,
Sir,
yes.
on the similar lines, right? Yesterday, I was discussing with one of our guru bandhu and with my roommate. He is also inclined in this way, but he's in his own inquiry, So we sit and discuss. Then we were discussing. If we see in the immediate moment, like in the very moment, in the awareness, the senses operate accordingly, the mind, responses happen. So all these things, if you take, collectively, like the whatever the breezes, the body is experiencing, somewhere some tides, ebbs are happening, and there is movement in the air, and somewhere there might be explosion of some volcano. And that is also cause, might be causing the change in the wind flow. So altogether, everything is causing everything here. If we take in the if this physical realm is real for a moment, so there is no point of taking the doership, like hunger. It's a body's natural response, So but we say I'm hungry. I'm tasting the food. It's naturally happening. Maybe the body wants the food, so then accordingly a response will come. It will go behind the food, body will take, and the sensory organ, taste buds operate, and the sensation, that taste sensation will go to the mind, and accordingly some response will come. So this even thoughts are happening in that flow. But if when we look closely, there is nothing as such thing as I. Just the maybe words and ideas flow in the form of words or thoughts, and the as I said, these senses and the responses, this thing keep on happening. There is a beautiful ecosystem. If we look closely, everything is causing everything, and naturally body is having natural responses accordingly. It is acting mechanically. In between, this Rami fellow come and says, take claims the doership of the things here. I'm doing this. I don't want this. So this is very beautiful. But when it is being looked closely, there is no that fellow, nowhere that fellow. In that very moment, there might be a thought. That's it. But that fellow is not there.
Yeah, I mean, again, Maharaj talks about invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. If at all you want to compare yourself to sky, that's I. the just I, just I. There's no need for anything. And everything that is trying to be figured out is being figured out in the bubble of illusion. Just remember that you're never out of the bubble of illusion. And when you're thinking, the thinking process, mind, ego, intellect is coming in. And that's again with body, but you're formless. Really and truly, and that's why Maharaj hammers home all the time, meditation, spend some time with you, be with you always. Instead of, and okay, it's nice that you talk to the Guru Bandhus and talk about spirituality and this and that, but like, remember, Maharaj says, all that is completely meaningless. Know yourself. Because otherwise, this is like food. It's like, okay, your mind maybe is just a little dying fire, and you put a little bit of kindling on to let that fire keep going. But the mind needs to just die out, and not die out as in like killing it. No, it just dies out naturally because you know yourself. So now this whole worldly illusion is an appearance. You're formless. Mind stops automatically because there's no thinker thinking about anything, no intellectualizing, no trying to figure it out, no trying to learn about spirituality and be able to discuss spirituality, just your own self there. And that's the same for Trisha's situation of, I get lost in these politics and all this kind of stuff that's happening. Again, because I'm not remaining with myself. I can be, and I think we talked about this before, I can remain with myself and go out and be a political activist with a little sign, you know, protesting whatever in the moment may be protesting, but never leaving my own self. Because you are yourself. And you keep thinking that I'm someone trying to remain with myself. You are yourself. You are that self, that selfless self, that I am. Remain there. And then go about and do your job, do your duties, whatever needs doing, do it. Knowing that there's no deed, no doer. Because sitting and, you know, discussing spirituality about, you know, how this is and that is and this and it really, even these discussions, if we said, okay, every night, 7:15, Tuesday of the week, no discussion, just sit and remain with yourself, observe this remaining, and observe when the desire is stirring to try and create the illusion of separation through a thought that I am thinking, or I am forming a question. You're formless.
See, mind chattering is there when this idea of wrong identification is operating, like I'm the body and I'm the mind. But when this idea is dropped, at least for a moment, the mind relevance is gone. Even though if mind surfaced, it is having it's you know, some purpose to, you know, to serve the body. In that very moment, there is no problem there. But who realizes this?
Again, there's no... Realization is a word that came along with the body and the body-based delusion. The recognition of presence and that recognition and the projection, oh, so that I, it eliminates this. And once your mind is steeped within yourself, it's like it just dissolves. If there are still illusory layers, master, your own formless self, has given you mantra. So you say, oh, well, in this moment, I'm getting a little bit lost. Okay, mantra. I'm not thinking about this problem. Mantra. mantra clears away all the illusory layers, slowly, silently, permanently. Oh, okay. Here I am. I'm not trying to figure it out. Like if somebody is saying something about something, I remain with myself. I don't give myself away for these things. And this also, you know, a couple of weeks ago, somebody came on and said Maharaj had talked about not talking about spiritual experiences. And this is true. Sharing with other devotees about spiritual experiences is because now there is definitely an experiencer taking credit for an experience and somehow, some way, giving validity to that which is not. Everything is just flowing in front of you, if you want to say it like this. There are just scenes. Scenes appearing and disappearing, and you're formless. And something seems to be happening, but it's not happening. You just remain with your selfless self. Meditation, you should know, oh, so that I. And there's no thinking about, oh, so that I. There's no thinking about the process of unidentifying or unraveling the identification that may be there, because in this that you are without attributes, without form, and no thought about anything. There's no thought about being with form or without form, because those are words, and all they're doing is disturbing this.
Reminds me of a Sailor Bob pointer, just a simple what's wrong with right now if you don't think about it. You know, yeah. And even more than that, like even if there is thought, that I feel like the meditation is slowly putting gaps in so that there's taste and there's moments of like, whoa, I'm actually okay and always have been and always will be. I think I've been running into a bit of, and I'm just so glad he talks about it in some of the stuff I found about when these, I don't know if they're defects or false beliefs, the tenets kind of in our minds that are going out. It can be a bit, I don't know, it's a bit intense, I think, you know, I'm also encouraged because that's not necessarily like a bad thing.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct. Absolutely. The tenants are leaving, as Maharaj says, and there's disturbances, but you go through that. You just remain with yourself, the self. Master has said, while remaining with mantra and going in this mantra and being with myself, the self, there could be revolt, but I remain. And this is... And you'll start to see, too, that it seemingly, like, rises and then subsides and is gone and rises and then gone. And this is very good because, number one, you're starting to see that you don't have to follow these train of thoughts or these, oh, my goodness, what is happening? Or, you know, you're not sitting there taking so much interest and so much importance.
If you're gonna bathe, go somewhere else.
Were you talking to your cat?
Yes. Oh, did you? Okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No worries.
Any other night.
I'm sorry. I
got
the microphone.
It's all good.
I was like, yes, I'm talking to my cat. It's very annoying. I'm trying to listen to you, and she's licking, 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 licking.
But and yet, you know, it this these sort of things happen. And the best thing to do is just discard. Because even if you were at the ashram and these things were happening and you went to Maharaj and because that's you're supposed to say, okay, this is happening. Same thing he says. Oh, just discard this. Because I told you about the experience of going to the gold shop and I really wanted this gold. Like there was something that came over me that was very strong that was like, look at the good prices on the gold. Let's get the gold. And I left there then, but I was disturbed very much. I went back, I talked to Maharaj. Now, luckily, I went back a couple of weeks later with another devotee and nothing. That had passed, that had gone. And there was one time too where the food, you know, I don't really eat vegetarian food. And for a long time, it was like, you know, a mantra, I can eat the vegetarian food because there's no me here. But then something arose inside and was like, I am done with this veggie food. I can't stand it anymore, not one more. And then that also subsided. And I told Maharaj about, there was a cockroach that was running around on the floor. And for some reason that was an irritation. I said, oh, Maharaj, there's cockroach and there's gecko and all this. He says, if you're not comfortable, we move you to another room. If that pleases you or whatever. And by him not reacting to my reaction, I naturally also dissolved. And so, and there was another, there's a video out of somebody who was talking to Maharaj and he said it was like a cork. You know, like you put a cork in a bottle and it just keeps bubbling, 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 yeah. And then and mantra will, while you're in the process of getting in touch with your selfless self and clearing these illusory layers, disturbances will come, but then you'll see and it'll see like it's bubbling and then it's finished. It's bubbling and then it's finished. And why does it finish so fast? Because you're not identifying and jumping in. You're not saying, oh my God, man, you know, this is this or this is that or all this kind of stuff. It's finished. And then you're just, when you're with your selfless self, there's no thinking, there's no thought. Because these concepts of even thinking thoughts don't come in. Like nothing comes in. Like you were saying, when you're with yourself, there are times where there's just a gap where there's no thinking, there's no thought. There is just an expanse of bliss because it's the absence of any kind of disturbance of thought or body things. And when you're speaking about body, everything is, oh, it's five elements. You know, if I'm starting to feel restless or whatever, oh, that's the five elements. It's not me. It's the five elements. Now, because this body comes along with a mind, it's going to transmit things to that formlessness that you are. Oh, this is happening because of the body. The body is five elemental body. Just like tomorrow, snow, rain, sleet. This is a disturbance in the five elements. It's not going to be a sunny day. There's going to be snow, rain, sleet. And if this was happening within you as a cold or as an ache in your arm or some such thing, it's the same. Oh, this is just five elements. Maharaj used to talk about the food body and the five elemental body. Like when he was coughing so much, it wasn't disturbing him. He, and you can hear, what was really nice about that is that Maharaj would give these discourses and cough like crazy and then whoop, go right back. You know, it was like you would think.
I used to present in those discourses, sir. Last 6-7 months of Maharaj discourses, I used to go there in Saturday, Sunday. Maharaj was like, you know, it was in tremendous pain. Body was in tremendous pain. Then just instantly, you know, that pain comes. Then maybe just a moment there would be attention on that. Again, he comes back saying, yes. Okay, it's five elemental body. It's common. It will go and die eventually.
Yes.
Oh, God. Like Maharaj is almost, you know, verge of, you know, facing the death. But there was no impact of, you know, realizing that fact that, you know, death is near. The body is going to die. Maharaj, like, was not even sleeping. Like, almost, like, you know, half an hour, 1 hour was like that. And still the clarity, there was no impact, you know, of that. Yes, he used to tell in the during this discourses, yes, there was very less sleep, but fine. The five elemental body, this having its own problems. I don't know. So, like the you told, right, this, sir? So, remember this incident.
Yes.
It's beautiful, you know, seeing that. You know, what I observed in your talk is you not only stopped entertaining the spiritual concepts discussions, you don't even accept this, you know, the waking world or dream world, anything, you know, either of these things are real. I don't know whether this conviction came because of, you know, the understanding of the I, or, you know, the true identification with the I. I don't know whether it is intellectual.
I mean, I've told this story before. I started feeling this presence. This presence I surrendered to as a power greater than myself. I came upon Maharaj, and I knew that Maharaj, after a few satsangs on Skype, this is the presence in body form. I'm going to fly to India and surrender everything to this presence, and also thank this presence for my whole journey of this coming about, you know, this presence that I was relying on for everyday activities, for everything. I was complete reliance. And now I could go to India and surrender. And then when I went to India to surrender, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. The presence that you're feeling, that's all there is. There's nothing other. Mantra was given, and I immediately went to mantra and began mantra. And then mantra has been taking care of me very nicely. My master just jumped in this body and started moving around, and that was it. And just remaining, I mean, there just can be no doubt. You'd have to try to rewind yourself back up in concepts of some sort, but you'd see through them, because it might have worked being a little baby and then growing up and winding concepts around you and around you and around you. And it might have worked for a time. But once you know yourself in a real sense, you could never wind yourself back up in concepts. There's not a...
No coming back, going back.
How? Because there's nothing to come back to and no one to come back. Should I start?
Okay. Like,
somehow, there's not. When you're speaking and asking questions, I absolutely know it's the formlessness, as basically the puppet of Rami, and formlessness is speaking. There's no Rami, there's no John. It's just this formlessness has no way to speak, being formless, right? There's, you needs an instrument with which to play, to speak. That's the only thing. There's no individuality of any kind. There can't be. It doesn't make sense. Because even if this was to try and be an individual, you go right back to, as Maharaj says, the walls that separate the kitchen, the walls that separate the bathroom, the walls that separate the ashram, but the space is the same in all three. And it's we who say there is somehow division. The presence can't be divided. It doesn't. And when this body falls, it doesn't gain or lose anything, this presence. It doesn't, nothing is, nothing, there's no movement. There's no, nothing. So to try and conceptualize and say, you know, oh, this or that, and it, no, you cannot. And, you know, Maharaj was, I remember one time we were sitting in the ashram, we had just had bhajan, and bhajan helped very much sort of shake this pressure of body. And suddenly there was like a feeling of this expansiveness. And right after the bhajan, I sat to Master's feet and I said, I felt like there was an expansion. But that's from the limited concept of being an individual. In the truth, it was the dissolution of the form within the presence that you are. And in that moment, it was, I remember I went like this with Maharaj. I said, so this is that self. That all of this is that's it. Oh yes, of course. This just I, this just subtle feeling is that presence that is boundless, experiencing through a limited concept of being a body in that moment to dip in and be able to feel I am, I exist, presence. That's the only use of the body. That's why Maharaj says the body is a golden opportunity. Because you can know yourself. This self that you are, you have to have some kind of concept of duality in order for there to be an experience. Otherwise, no experience, no experiencer. And you can sort of take a taste of this bliss of non-experiencing by just remaining with your selfless self. Spontaneous. The holder of the body is invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity that you are. It's been labeled Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, Master, but in truth, there's no label because all labels came along with the body, and you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body.
But the mind is very tricky. I don't know. You know, I've felt those expansions, of course, at times, and then the mind somehow starts to take over. So, you know, I haven't. You said there's no coming back, but that there's this must be a certain point where you. There's a point beyond which you can't turn back. But I have found in my experience that I think I'm there, and I think it's going to last forever. The freedom or sense of natural state or something. But then it does.
That's the background of everything.
It does. It's
always available.
Yeah, Well, it can't disappear, but my awareness
disappear. Your mind starts to be more interesting than that presence.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
Because the mind is stirring, there's activity. So you say, oh, look at these thoughts. And these thoughts even more terrible because I'm sitting there saying, wow, I'm experiencing nothingness. This is absolutely amazing. It's working. Like I am selfless self. But that speaking or even thinking disturbs the selfless self because you're having something creating a concept of duality. I am experiencing selfless self. No. All these experiences are appearing on your spontaneous presence. Behind every experience, you are. So now, in whatever seems to be happening, don't let mind wander off into the attention of experience. Remain with the background. The background's always there, always available. The doorway to your own self in any moment. You're just still entertained by the, you know, it's like the, maybe, apple is there. Oh, I don't like apple. I'm good. But then chocolate cake comes and you're like, oh yeah, no. I definitely want chocolate cake. You see, because something is more interesting to you than your own self, which is a shame.
Even to say that the mind is tricky is giving it validity.
Really. Well, and remember, Maharaj says there's no mind at all. And then he says that mind is flow of thoughts. And then he says, you're giving power to the mind. So all these three statements are basically saying there is no mind at all unless you're thinking about a mind by thinking these passing thoughts into existence as I am thinking. I am a thinker thinking this. If the flowing thoughts, and that's why Maharaj uses the example of the delicious dishes. He offers you these delicious dishes, and you take what you want, and you leave what you don't. And that's with the mind. The flow of thoughts is coming. You take the thoughts that are going to benefit you, such as, oh, perhaps I need to check my car's tires for air. Okay. This is something that could appear. Or, oh, I wonder if my work that I did over the weekend is going to be appreciated by my boss. No, this is not such a happy thought to have. So you pick and choose. Because ultimately, there's no thinker, no thought. And you're giving attention to the mind. You know you're formless. So all these form-based things can be tossed aside because you're formless. And you really are. See, when you sit there and you say, oh, I'm formless, but I have to do this thing right now. It's very important. Or, you know, I don't trust my formless nature. I'm not sure because it's the truth. And that's why you say you can't unwind this truth. When you are with your selfless self, that's it. That's all there is. And then, like Maharaj says with the people and the elephant, somebody can come to you and say, well, no, because, you know, Krishna, you have to worship Krishna because of this. And on the battlefield, it was said about this. And this is what that means. No, that's okay. I'm just with myself, myself. And that's why then Maharaj will point and he'll say, all religions are illusory religions because they're all body-based. Did you know about religion prior to being this? No. Will you know about religion after leaving the body? No. Therefore, religion is something that is experienced within the body-based existence, which is not true because you are formless. You go right to the root. Somebody is talking spirituality in some way, shape, or form, or what Master said, what do you think Ramana Maharshi says, this or that. You remain with your selfless self. No need to discuss. That's why Maharaj would talk about there's no debating. This is not a debate. You are that. You may not believe that you are that. You may not understand that you are that. That doesn't matter. You are that.
In a way, you could say it makes you available to others because there would be no resistance or any propositions, promotion, anything to promote or nothing to resist, I guess.
I'm not trying to take anything out of the illusory world. It's formless. Like, there's no desires of taking, of grasping or grabbing anything. You're formless, so this is not even a thought. And any time that you would say to yourself, I want this, oh, wait a minute, except your selfless self, there's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Best just to remain with my selfless self.
You really don't need anything then, I guess.
Nothing. And anything that you try to desire, you're going to stir up an I am desire. Because, of course, if there's an object of that you are desiring, then you have to assume that you're an object. Because it wouldn't make sense for the space in this room to desire a gold chair, you know? How? No. So you would have to be an object that could sit on that gold chair or that could experience or enjoy that gold chair. But you're formless.
So that's the difference between self and selfless, right there, I guess.
Selfless self is absolutely formless without any attributes. So how can you acquire anything? Maharaj gave the very good example. When you were born, did you come with any pockets? No. So, and you're formless. There's no how to grab, how to acquire, how to try and manipulate someone or to try and get your own way, which is also very silly because if nothing's actually happening, then even if you appear to be getting your own way, which way, how, you're formless. That's why Maharaj says there are no ways. You're formless. We can go back to anything. Oh, I'm having trouble with politics, but I'm formless. So what does that mean? I just have to remain with my formless nature. And what's fun too, especially in the beginning of experiencing yourself as this formlessness without thought, you'll see that the activities of the body are going on. You're not going to starve. You're not going to lose your job. You're not going to walk out into traffic because you're remaining with your selfless self and you just walk out into traffic and get killed. No, because this is the reality. I'll tell you, in the very early beginning, I remember I would sit because I had heard from, I don't know if I read a book or I think it was Muji who had talked about try just standing there, walking, and then standing there and doing absolutely nothing. You can't just do nothing. Your body's going to be moving. So I said, okay, let's try this. And sure enough, the urge would come to walk this way. And just as it did in India after taking the mantra, wind up walking this way, having the beard shaved, the hair cut, the Radraksha beads taken off, wandering all around Nashik, a place where I had no idea where I was or even if I could get back. But there was no thought of this because I was just remaining with myself as self and completely and totally just being unmoving while this body is moving around without the thoughts of anything else. And I wound up 10 kilometers away from the ashram, had to take one of the little buggies, I forget what they're called, rickshaw, back to the ashram. And Maharaj actually scolded me and said, don't do that, please.
Because 10 kilometers, that's really far.
He's like, yeah. He said, Nashik is a city. You understand. You can't just be wandering around. And so don't do that anymore, please. And I didn't after that. But it was a wonderful experience just to be remaining with mantra, remaining with selfless self. So you have to have direct experience. We can read in the books about this. We can be told by the master about this. We can discuss with other devotees. We can even be in satsang. But it has to have direct experience. Practical spirituality is what Maharaj hammers home all the time. We're not teaching intellectual spirituality of discussing, thinking, contemplating. No, we're jumping in. And I think Maharaj used to say, I'm not teaching you to swim in the lakes and ponds. I'm teaching you to jump into the ocean and swim because it's direct. I've heard this is true. I remain with mantra because if I remain with mantra and I sit in meditation, it's going to click. The penny is going to drop, so to speak. Oh, so that I, master has said this is happening. Okay. Now when I'm wandering outside, I remain with this and I cultivate this presence. Master has planted the seed of reality and now it's my job to water it with bhajans. Water it with knowledge, remain with my selfless self, so that my knowledge plant grows. If I'm given a seed and I don't get the proper sun and I don't get the proper fertilizer, I don't get the proper water, the plant is going to die as a seed. Maybe it grows a little bit. I'm so impressed that it's growing that I don't do any more watering or feeding. But if I continue to cultivate that plant, it can grow into a mighty oak tree. And the stability, the conviction, oh, so that I am that. And that is all there is. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. Thank you. Each one has said, I've felt that selfless self. I've felt that presence. I've remained with presence. It's only for a short time. But this is the reality. So dive into your selfless self, which is the background of every experience. Whenever you feel yourself slipping and not being yourself because you're giving attention and you're trying to create this illusion of duality and trying to give significance to that which is illusory, remain with your selfless self. Whenever these problems are coming and this illusory problems that are being directed towards this illusory person, oh, remain with selfless self. Remain.
In that analogy of this seed growing to a tree, I wonder if you could say that even if you grow into a tree and you recognize the reality is this still the same as it was in the seed as it is in the tree. But it's the body, somehow it's the experience of, well, I guess you wouldn't say that the experiencer would be the one that's growing per se.
You just remember that all that is useless. The example was only given to direct the attention to the invisible listener. The example was only an example. And it wasn't meant to be. See, even these talks, it's just to invite the attention of the invisible listener, that subtle sense of presence. It's never, because everything, I think Maharaj says, in the illusory world, everything is illusion, including yourself and myself. And nothing is true, nothing is false, because it's all within the bubble of illusion. So these are just, they're hits, inviting the attention of the invisible listener. Mm-hmm. You sit and you listen to the story of, oh, there's a seed, or you listen to the story of Eklava, because Eklava, okay, he wasn't being able to be trained by Dronacharya or whoever this guy was. And so he said, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to make this statue. And then all the devotion, all of everything was given to this statue, because master is formless. It's the internal master. There is no external master, because there is no form. So your own selfless self, you're projecting on this statue, and this statue is then giving guidance and teaching, just like the selfless self within, doing the same thing, inviting attention of the invisible listener. And this is teaching. This is, and that's all, that's why Maharaj, all the time, he says, I'm inviting attention of the invisible listener, invisible, unidentified identity. There's no thinking. There's no figuring it out. There's no nothing. There's no external, there's no internal. You're formless. What are the attributes of something that's formless?
No attributes.
And not even to say, so you can't even say no attributes, because attributes only appear within the illusion. Because you can't even say the absence of attributes, because in that you are, that you are the reality. Nothing else is. And nothing is above to measure and say this. No, this what? Nothing.
Even formless too is also just a word.
Yes.
There was no formlessness, you know, prior to birth and after death. It's radical.
Yes.
Sorry, I was hungry in between. I went for a tea.
in the meantime, I have to keep practicing and plug away then.
Remember, Maharaj says 1 minute, just that. Because there was somebody who had asked Maharaj, he says, oh, I can sit for maybe 1 hour. Now it's come to like 1 hour, 20 minutes where I can sit with no thoughts in meditation. And I'm just with that I am, that sense of existence. But 1 minute is good. Master has said, this is the reality. Now I've directly experienced this reality in this moment. Now the experiencer is dissolved because there's only reality. There was no experiencer of reality. There's just reality. So this is dissolved. There's just... And now go do your job, do your duties, play. You know, it's an illusory world. Don't have to take anything very seriously. Just, but do. You have this body. This body's going to live out and do whatever it does until it can no longer sustain the essence. And then this illusory experience will be finished. There will be nothing to experience because there's no concept of duality brought about by body, world, mind, ego, intellect. It's not. All of this is not. It's not now, but you would see, oh, there's, you know, this table. Whether you remain with your selfless self or not, you can tap on the table. You just won't have the concept that there's John is moving his hand and tapping on the table or any of this sort of thing. Just as in dream. In dream, you can tap on the table, but you know it's coming from formless consciousness, yes? Because how? There's nothing of any substance in your dream. And yet, while you're a character within the dream, you are able to interact with objects because there is the perceiving perspective of being an object within that dream. And the same is this waking.
Sir, my understanding is rather than solving day-to-day problems, you know, being a spiritual person, the conviction, you know, this is the, you know, conviction has been there from last few weeks. One has to know in real sense, who am I? As you say, like, you know, I am the presence. That conviction has to hit. All these things, like maybe act dispassionately if it is required, or leaving the things behind. All these things, I think that intelligence would bloom in the very moment if it is required, and the right action will be happen. But before this, one has to recognize, or you know, whatever you're pointing, that you know, I am that presence. That is the crux, I believe.
Yeah, that identification with nothing but presence. And eventually then that'll go, because then it's just presence and there's no nothing. There's nothing. So there's all this dispassion or all of these renunciation. It's automatic because you don't have this mind flow of thoughts. Again, the desires, you don't have a perception of I'm an object that's acquiring other objects. No, there's no need for this. And yet at the same time, you can go online and do a little shopping, order some stuff, and it'll be sent to your house. Okay, because you're in this form-based illusion and you're using form. You have to eat. Like Maharaj says, you can't say, oh, I'm a spiritual man, I'll just get my food from presence. No, because then the body will not be able to sustain and you'll no longer be experiencing the illusion.
That common sense, I think, yeah, you know, that comes right. With that understanding, the right action.
Because there's no you there thinking it and figuring it out. It's happening right now, automatically. It's just that you're believing in this mind flow of things that are so, quote, important within the illusion. Because you're taking yourself as someone who's trying to be realized, or someone who's trying to remain with presence. But as presence, There's no thought any longer of I need to be something. It's just formless, spontaneous activity in the moment. Scenes passing before you. Activity comes, activity subsides. No actor, no mind flow, no taking credit, nor taking debits. Oh, I did this very bad thing. Oh, this very good thing. Oh, this, my boss thinks I'm so great. Oh, my boss thinks I'm so terrible. No, this scale, pain and pleasure, gone. There's no longer this need to sustain me. Like I need to be, there's just spontaneous action in the moment. I'll tell you one other cool experience. I was walking and I slipped and fell and hit the floor and got back up. And this was at a time where there was, it was weird because it was as if I was still level. Even though I hit the floor, I got back up, but there wasn't that, it took a couple of seconds for that connect to be, oh, I fell and now I'm up. It was as if there was no change in focus. Just like the wind, when you go outside and you experience the wind that's hitting the body, but you know your formlessness, and this formlessness within the body is not experiencing the wind. The wind is hitting a body, and then there are sensations that are going through mind that this is wind, but you're formless. Or rain, another nice experience. Rain falling on your head, and you sort of hear the rain like it's on the roof of your house because there's no you getting wet. You remain with yourself, the self. You don't go along with these experiences that I'm having this experience. No, rain is hitting this body. You're the formless holder of the body, but there's no need to even think about that. There's just the, during that, and the rain is hitting your head, and you're detached from this, but you're not trying to be detached. It's automatic.
So it was almost like you didn't fall when you fell.
It was a strange thing. Yeah, it was really
almost didn't experience it or something.
It was a slip and a fall, and then I got right back up, and there wasn't a. It was a strange change.
No change.
There was no change. It was hard to explain. Now, I'm not saying go out and try this.
Yeah.
You know, but this was just something. Now the wind. Definitely, you go out and walk, and the wind you'll feel, and you probably already have when you're not thinking about anything, you're not thinking about yourself, you're just walking, and the wind kind of blows on you, and you just kind of experience this wind hitting the body without it actually hitting you. And there's this is all natural. There's no need to try and do this or try and experience that.
Things are just happening smoothly.
Yeah, because you're not trying to arrange anything. You know, there's no you there to arrange, to try and have an experience and then be upset about the experience not occurring. You know, oh, I sit in meditation. I'm supposed to feel an expansiveness. So let me wait for that moment. That's like the story Maharaj talks about the person going to sleep and trying to catch sleep. You know, at this, the moment of sleep, oh, yes, there's sleep. Oh, I'm awake. Because you can't do it. It's just a natural relaxing into yourself. And there's no need to think about, oh, I'm not being spiritual, or oh, I'm not doing this. That's why Maharaj says a big hurdle. A lot of people will say you have to eat vegetation food because, or vegetarian food, vegetarian diet, because it's sattvic diet and you need the sattva to increase within the the whatever body the sattva is doing, it's gunas and all this. No, because now there's a whole long thought process. As Maharaj says, the body requires water, get water. Doesn't care if it's pure water or bottled water, just get water. Body requires food, feed it. Whatever your body needs, you provide, but not to excess. Because as Maharaj says, anything to excess is a poison. And of course, if you eat too much, you'll gain weight, but you'll also be more body conscious. So you don't want this. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Like the Raja yogis who just go out and, you know, and Maharaj has said, these are totally never going to break out of the body experience, because now they're saying like, oh, my activities, I just do whatever. And I remember when we went to the Kumbh Mela, we were driving by and Maharaj was saying, these are the pretenders. These are the people who are pretending to be spiritual, because decorating the body and putting the gray ash and the red rocks beads and, you know, wearing sometimes little like bikini thing or whatever, they're just, and
loincloth.
Yeah, loincloth. But that's all about the body. There's no need for this. Or the people who walk around Arunachala 100,000 times. Maharaj, not making fun of, but wanting to point out, do not think that someone who says, I spent time in a cave and I walked around Arunachala and I went to this and that, do not think that this is the way. 1 minute is sufficient for you. Remain with your selfless self and be there always. Nothing should be more interesting to you than your own selfless self. I just noticed it's 8:21. My goodness.
Yeah, we're going.
We're going. So
I just want to end.
I realized in between. I don't want to.
Kitty says hello to everybody.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Kitty.
Thank you, Kitty.
All right. Good.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.